Bloomberg Radio News.
Today it's my pleasure to announce a beacon of hope.
Follow the taillights to downtown as Los Angeles puts its pedal to the metal, rev up revenues. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for November 16th, 2010. I'm Madeline Cinto. This morning, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors banned grocery stores, food marts, and pharmacies from carrying plastic bags. Supervisor Michael Antonovich was the only vote against the measure. The law will go into effect by 2012. Haley Fox has the story.
Plastic bags littered the front lawn of the Civic Center this morning as supporters of the ban on single-use bags chanted and hoisted signs with slogans like, "Our state flower isn't the plastic bag." Gail Wilkie of San Fernando says plastic bags are overall unnecessary.
There's a very viable alternative, and that's a cloth or a canvas bag, and there's no reason for us to have to decide between paper or plastic.
The ban will take about 6 months to go into effect. A similar ordinance was proposed at the state level earlier this year, but was ultimately defeated. The LA County ordinance does not include the city of Los Angeles, but County Supervisor Zeb Yaroslavsky says it will set the standard for other local cities.
We warned at the time that if the state doesn't pass a uniform ban, there will be local bans popping up all over the place. And this is the first one, at least the first one of any major county.
Yaroslavsky cites Santa Monica and Culver City as two other areas gearing up to implement their own bans. The average American uses 500 bags per year. So we asked residents how they felt about saying goodbye to plastic.
For me, it's an additional inconvenience, but if it's going to help the environment, I would rather do it.
I use them because I have a puppy, and she's inside a lot, and I can use her disposables and trash them, so it's kind of a convenience there.
I know all the plastic bags go somewhere on the planet, and it's not good for the planet.
While some think lugging a reusable bag to the market is inconvenient, environmental groups say it's worth the effort. Heal the Bay blames plastic bags for polluting the ocean and destroying sea life. Mark Gold, executive director of Heal the Bay, says bags don't just end up on the beach anymore.
When you look at the LA River and it looks like we have plastic bag trees, when you look at the ocean after a rain and it looks like a trash dump, those days have to stop.
China, India, and Bangladesh have all outlawed single-use bags, and American supporters are hoping California will be next. This is Haley Fox, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, the Los Angeles City Council voted to put several measures on the March ballot. Stephanie Sherman reports.
One measure you'll see on the March 8th ballot is the Reserve Fund Initiative. It would require the city to maintain a minimum emergency fund. To make withdrawals from it, the council would have to declare a, quote, state of emergency, and the mayor would have to approve it. Councilwoman Jan Perry said it will protect the money from being siphoned off to fund city operations during a budget crisis. The council also approved a library initiative that would slowly take more money from the city's property tax revenue. Bernard Parks Jr., speaking on behalf of his father and councilman, explains why public safety opposes the measure.
This means that we're putting aside money that they can't get to. And this is coming from folks that already get 70 to 80% of the budget. I think they have to realize the city is more than a fire department and a police department. It is about our libraries and parks.
Voters will also decide whether elected officials or candidates seeking city contracts can get campaign gifts. Stephanie Sherman, Annenberg Radio News.
The council postponed voting on one measure that would cut pension benefits. The city administrative officer requested time to review proposed amendments introduced at the last minute. The measures would ask voters to trim retirement pay by up to 10% for police officers and firefighters hired after July 1st, 2011. Pensions already make up 18% of the city's budget. It's of growing concern as LA struggles with budget shortfalls. Council members will decide whether to put pension reform on the March ballot tomorrow. Also in limbo is the pot measure. If council members put it on the ballot, voters will have the option of taxing medicinal marijuana. Amanda Rain of Oaksterdam University, a school that specializes in cannabis farming, understands LA needs the money.
In an ideal world, we wouldn't tax patients, yet we're facing, you know, serious budget issues all across California, and LA is definitely no different than that.
If passed, the city would impose a 5% tax on medicinal marijuana sales. The state attorney general's race continues to go back and forth 2 weeks after Election Day. Democratic candidate Kamala Harris now has the lead with a little more than 31,000 votes. Republican candidate Steve Cooley was ahead all last week until Harris snuck up from behind him yesterday. Counties throughout the state plan on taking until the November 30th deadline to finish counting. Early next year, the city skyline will change, at least a little bit, when a new Chrysler dealership opens with a sleek five-story glass building filled with the latest car models. Esther King has the story.
The city of Los Angeles will soon spruce up its title as the City of Automobiles. After a 10-year absence in Central LA, Chrysler Group unveiled today ambitious plans for its new dealership called Motor Village of Los Angeles. It will open for business early next year. The Chrysler dealership will be located on South Figueroa Street. It'll be just blocks from the Los Angeles Convention Center, the Staples Center, and LA Live.
Over the past few years, with wages falling and unemployment rising, some of our dealerships have been forced to close their doors, losing jobs and revenue for our city. So we're working to reverse that trend.
That's Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa at today's reception. He says the presence of the auto dealership will be essential to the city's economic comeback by creating jobs and raising tax revenue.
Today it's my pleasure to announce a beacon of hope, Chrysler.
The dealership's jewel will be its five-story glass tower, which will display Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram truck, and Fiat vehicles.
Nick Shamus's vision, and the one that I continued, was to develop this area in along Figueroa as a distinct area for the automotive retailing industry.
That was Daryl Holter, the CEO of the Shamus Group. He's also the son-in-law of the late Nick Shamus, the founder of the group. The mayor also announced a new partnership with the Los Angeles Federal Credit Union. Under the partnership, customers can get car loans with rates as low as 2%.
So I encourage Angelenos to buy an automobile, a truck, a vehicle. LAFCU and Shop LA's work is just one more reason to buy a car in the city of LA.
This partnership is a part of the city's year-long campaign called Shop LA, aimed at encouraging Angelenos to spend within the city. Esther King, Annenberg Radio News.
Thanks to low-emission cars and tougher air quality standards, the state's air quality has improved dramatically since 1975. That's according to a new study by the Environment California Research and Policy Center. It reports that smog levels have dropped by 70% in Los Angeles. New technology for controlling emissions was credited for much of the progress. The newest in clean-burning electric and hybrid cars will be on display when the LA Car Show opens Friday at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Tonight, temperatures will be in the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, expect some fog in the morning, but it should clear up by the afternoon. Highs will be in the low 70s. And Thursday will be similar, fog in the morning, then mostly sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we hear about the Muslim pilgrimage Hajj and today's special celebration.
Tonight, the father of Matrice Richardson will have a news conference in an effort to hold the sheriff's department accountable for the death of his daughter. He plans to go over details in the coroner's report with the public that he believes the media has looked over. Stephanie Guzman reports.
When Matrice's remains were found, they were badly decomposed. And as night fell that August evening, those at the scene put what was left of her body in a bag to send to the coroner's office. L.A. County Coroner Ed Winter said they shouldn't have done that. Her remains were compromised. He said because of their mistake, there was nothing left he could do, such as rule it as a homicide. But there are still many questions unanswered. Here's Jasmine Kanick. She's a close family friend and is helping Michael Richardson with the news conference.
If I fell down that embankment into that ravine and no animal touched my body, and I ended up dying, my clothes should still be on my body technically, not 100 yards or more away from me.
Matrice's file is still on a detective's desk somewhere. For the most part, the case has gone cold. But with websites and Facebook pages and these regular news conferences, Matrice's father is not ready to give up.
Michael is always in fight mode. And at this point, he's so infuriated, like, about the whole coroner's report.
Michael Richardson wants the sheriff's department to engage the community and answer some of their questions. In the meantime, they're asking supporters to send bones to L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca.
Literally, like, I had fried chicken tonight. I will not throw my bones away. I'm going to put them in the freezer, and when I get a bunch of bones, I'm going to put them in the mail and send them to Lee Baca with a little note that says, from me to you regarding Matrice.
Steve Whitmore, the spokesperson for Baca, could not comment as of airtime. But Kanick says that in December of 2009, Michael met with Baca. The sheriff said that the family may have to deal with the fact that we'll never know what happened to Matrice. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, Muslims worldwide are celebrating the religious holiday called the Festival of Sacrifice. It's commonly known as El Eid. El Eid is celebrated on the 10th day of the Muslim pilgrimage known as Hajj. Muslims celebrate this holiday by coming together and sharing food, specifically lamb and a variety of desserts. Mohammed El Zayed is a USC student and a member of the Muslim Student Union. He made the pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia twice, and he explains what it means to him.
Hajj is one of the five major pillars of Islam. It's the last one, and all Muslims must perform Hajj at least once in their lives. The idea behind Hajj is people will realize how they will face God in the hereafter, and for 5 days where Muslim people gather from all around the world in Mecca. And for the next 3 days, they will just stay in Mina for those 3 days, and after that, everyone will go home. Once you go to the Hajj, you'll feel that how our people are equal and they should be treated all the same. The Hajj actually give you a brief preview on how the hereafter is going to be like, where people looking for forgiveness and for mercy from God. Everyone should try it at least once in their life.
That was Mohammed El Zayed, a member of the USC Muslim Student Union. Either today or tomorrow, the LA City Council will decide whether to put an initiative on the March ballot that will ask voters to audit the Department of Water and Power. If passed, the measure will require an outside inspector to evaluate the need for proposed rate increases and investigate complaints of abuse, fraud, and waste within the DWP. Councilman Eric Garcetti proposed the initiative. Earlier today, his spokesperson, Youssef Robb, explained to me why the DWP should be audited.
Earlier this year, DWP came to the people of Los Angeles and the City Council with a proposal for an up to 28% electric rate hike. This amidst the toughest economic times most of us have seen in our lifetimes. A city audit later revealed and confirmed the city council's suspicion in rejecting that proposal that the DWP was not playing it straight with the people of Los Angeles as to the reasons for that rate hike. The DWP, through misleading the public and the city council, broke that trust.
This proposal is also including some other, or I guess the council members are talking about some other factors, you know, shortening board members' terms, being able to perhaps fire some of them or remove them from office with a two-thirds vote. And the DWP is saying that this proposal was kind of just jammed together at the last minute. It's not been well thought out. I was wondering if you had a response to that.
The city council has had 8 public hearings on this issue just since Labor Day. The notion that this has been a rushed process is one that we reject wholeheartedly. This process of DWP reform has been undergone in public, 8 public sessions of debate by the council just since Labor Day. This has been well debated and well thought out. The council believes DWP is in the need of the reform. If the DWP disagrees, that's their right to do so, but we disagree with that.
It kind of seems like the council and the DWP have kind of been having a relationship of tension over the last couple of years. And it seems like it might have started in recently having to do with the DWP refusing to take on more employees from other city departments. And I was wondering if this might be some of the motivation as to why the council now thinks that the DWP needs more auditing and, I guess, outsider intervention.
The tension between the City Council and the DWP is born entirely from the DWP's either incapacity, unwillingness, or inability to play it straight with its customers, the people of Los Angeles, 100% of the time.
And if this is on the ballot, there's a lot of talk of a lot of outside money coming in to kind of push that proposal down and make sure it doesn't pass. Is the council ready for that kind of fight? And if so, what are they preparing for that?
We think the proposition that would be before the people of Los Angeles is a simple one. Do you trust the DWP's calculations when it comes to rate increases, or would you rather have an independent analyst with the expertise and authority to double-check their numbers? We think the choice is clear, and we think the people of Los Angeles will see through whatever efforts are brought against that.
That was Yousef Rob, spokesperson for Councilman Eric Garcetti. Today is Biddy Mason Day. In the 1800s, the African-American woman was a well-known midwife and co-founded the first black church in our city. Her story started in 1851 when she was brought to California as a slave from Mississippi. But her owner didn't realize the state had outlawed slavery. She and her 3 children were freed in Los Angeles. Mason bought a house on Spring Street and other properties in downtown after saving up for 10 years. She was one of the first black women to own land. Her wise real estate decisions paid off for generations. Her grandson became the wealthiest black man in LA at one time. The city honored her in 1989. Funny enough, though, her memorial is in a parking garage on Spring Street in downtown. Not very fitting for a woman with such an amazing story. Now we check in with Faye Lee to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hi, Madeline. I will tell you about the story that I was covering today. I was actually in Riverside earlier to cover this the funeral memorial service for fallen officer Ryan Bonaminio. He was killed earlier this month. He was shot by a suspected truck thief who was involved in a hit-and-run accident.
Wow, that sounds like a really serious story. Thank you so much, Faye, for coming in and sharing that with us. And we'll make sure to check that out tonight on Trojan Vision. President Obama awarded the Medal of Honor to Salvador Guyente. He's the first living recipient to receive the medal since the Vietnam War. President Obama tied a blue ribbon with a gold medal around the neck of Staff Sergeant Guyente, who risked his life for his fellow soldiers in the Afghanistan war 3 years ago. Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help from Marilyn Medawar, Ryan Nunez, and Shelley Hsu. Stephanie Guzman is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Madeline Cinto. Make sure to check out our website, annenbergradio.org.